They loved that. His smile turned roguish. And so did I. Shifters aren't shy about showing affection any more than we're worried about showing our bodies. Look around. He nodded to the crowd. I let my gaze travel over the mass of bodies around our little platform. The crowd stretched all across the massive courtyard to the ring of marble arches at its border and the stretch of trees beyond. Despite the lanterns scattering around the place, it was getting pretty dark. I hadn't noticed the behavior he was talking about until I peered harder. Oh. All across the fringes of the courtyard, pressed up against the columns of the arches or right in the midst of their fellow revelers, couples were going at it. Kissing, heavy petting, the works. I saw one young couple who looked ready to seal the deal right there on a stone bench between two of the arches. A woman lolled her head in bliss as her partner stroked her breasts beneath her shirt. A group of three were taking turns devouring each other's mouths. Apparently, dragon shifters weren't the only ones who enjoyed multiple mates. The flush on my face trickled right down my body. Wow. Okay, I guess if I should worry about anything, it's that your kin are going to think I'm a prude. Aaron looped his arm around my waist. You shouldn't worry about anything. They'll take you exactly as you are, and those activities might be a little more extreme tonight than is usual in public even for us. People have a lot of time to make up for. It took me a second to realize what he was talking about. West had told me that none of the shifter kin could have children while their alpha went unmated. Now it was no holds barred in the baby-making department. I guessed there'd be an awful lot of new avians being born 9 months from now. An awful lot of all sorts of shifter babies, once I fully accepted all of my mates. The thought gave me a strange twinge, giddy excitement and anxious uncertainty mixed together. I shouldn't be neglecting the other guys, even now. I wouldn't ignore Aaron when we were at the other kin group estates, after all. I searched the crowd again, this time looking for the rest of my mates. I didn't spot Nate or West, although my innate sense of their presence told me they were nearby. Marco was standing near one of the arches, talking with a few other shifters. And frowning, which was not an expression I saw on his face often. My stomach twisted. Was something wrong? Hey, I said to Aaron. Is it all right if I circulate around a little, or am I supposed to stay up here the whole time?
Go right ahead, he said. The estate should be completely safe. I have people checking everyone who's arrived for their kin sign.
I hopped off the platform and was immediately swept up in the bustle of celebration. Aaron's kin grasped my arms with friendly squeezes, shouted joyful comments into my ears, and beamed at me as if, well, as if they'd been waiting 16 years just to meet me. I smiled back until my face ached with it. My heart thumped fast, but I didn't want to leave this chaos yet. This was the first time I'd been somewhere I completely belonged since I'd fled with my mother all those years ago. I gradually wove through the crowd toward the arch where I'd seen Marco. When I reached it, at first I thought he was gone. Then I heard his voice carrying from the other side of the thick marble column.
I don't see how that's any of your business.
None of our business? A guy retorted. We're your kin. And the security of our kin group depends on you getting off your ass and locking her in.
Locking her in. What were they talking about? I hesitated, suspecting that if I walked right into that conversation, it'd stop in an instant.
I'm working on it, Marco said. I'm sure it was a hell of a lot easier for the alphas whose mates knew what they were getting into more than a couple weeks in advance.
Someone else, this one a woman, snorted.
Where are those charms you always speak so highly of? You know how many there are who'd happily take your place if it looks like there's an opening. And until you've consummated that bond...
I know, Marco snapped. Thank you so much for your concern, but I assure you I'll get the job done. And before Wolf Boy or our resident grizzly gets in there, too.
His tone was so callous my hackles rose. I backed up, merging back with the crowd, suddenly hating the thought of any of them noticing I was there. It was me they were talking about, obviously. They were hassling Marco about our uncertain bond. But he hadn't exactly defended me, had he? He'd made it sound as if being my mate was some kind of competition or a job. That word he'd actually used. My mind darted back to the way he'd talked to me the other night, when we almost had consummated our relationship. He'd gone on about how much he cared about me, about the life we'd have together. My stomach turned. Had he really meant any of that? Or had he just thought a bunch of sweet nothings was the best way to get me to give in to his charms? More avian shifters greeted me, and I managed to smile, but a sliver of pain jabbed at my gut. I assumed if I could trust anyone, it was my mates. Even West, despite his gruffness. What if I'd been wrong? Without meaning to, I wandered back into the vicinity of the platform. Aaron hopped down to meet me. He took in my expression and brought his hand to the side of my face. I leaned into his touch, taking as much comfort from it as I could. "Is the celebration getting to be a bit much?" he said. No, I wasn't going to let some stupid remarks stop me from making the most of this moment. I could decide how to deal with Marco later, when I could speak to him alone. Tonight was about celebrating what we'd gained. I wrapped my fingers around Aaron's palm. I'm fine. Wanna dance?
I'll never turn down that request from you.
He set his other hand on my waist and twirled me around, fast enough that a laugh jolted out of me despite myself. Then he pulled me close to him, both of us turning together with the melody spilling through the air. How soon can you reach out to the Fey Monarch? I asked. I couldn't forget that reason for coming here, either. I wasn't going to be able to feel right until I'd gotten some sort of justice for Mom.
I already have, Aaron said. I sent one of my people to her citadel about an hour ago. We should hear the answer by tomorrow.
He squeezed my hand tighter.
And if she tries to refuse to hear us, believe me, I'll make sure she changes her tune.
13. Wren. The sky had deepened to a near black over the garden, twinkling with a dusting of stars. I tipped my head to them, letting their faint light soak into me as I meandered down the path. The avian kin celebration was only just starting to wind down. Music and chatter still carried over the hedges from the courtyard. I'd finally slipped away through one of the arches into this quieter space a few minutes ago. Sometimes a girl needed room to breathe. The warm, salty air was such a relief after all that time in the mountains cold. I closed my eyes, drinking it in. A faint breeze rustled through the flowers and hedges around me. A sweet perfume rose up from the blossoms to mingle with the ocean scent. The crash of waves sounded from the other side of the house, just barely audible to my shifter ears. As I breathed in again, another scent reached my nose. Something darker, earthier, with a prickle of pine. I knew before I opened my eyes that I'd see West nearby. The wolf shifter was standing by a wooden latticework. A flowering vine climbed across the interlaced slats over a stone bench like the ones around the courtyard. West was facing away from me, toward the far end of the garden and the top of the estate wall visible beyond it. His hands were slung in the pockets of his jeans, and his head was tipped to the side at a thoughtful angle. I hesitated, the mate bond urging me to go to him, while what was probably common sense suggested I leave him be. If he'd wanted company, he wouldn't be all the way over here while the party was still happening. and it wasn't as if he'd ever acted all that excited to spend time with me. But maybe that was exactly why I should go to him. He was a jerk to me some of the time. Okay, a lot of the time. But I could understand why. I'd seen how much he cared about his kin. The Shifter's dependence on the ties between Dragon Shifter and Alphas had gone terribly wrong after my mother's disappearance. He felt the same draw I did. Maybe being a jerk was the only way he knew how to fend that desire off while he made his decision. He should know that I wanted to give him a chance, at least. That I would do everything I could for his kin as well as Aaron's and the other guys if he met me halfway. If he decided to forsake the mate bond and look to form a new one separate from tradition, it wasn't going to be because I pushed him away. And maybe a little part of me was remembering that one kiss he'd given me after the rogue's first ambush. The passion in it that had left my head spinning, and the way he'd looked at me the other night in the tent. My skin flushed a little at the memory. I ambled around a clump of red and pink rose bushes and a magnolia tree. I wasn't trying to be quiet, and Wes could probably smell my presence just as well as I'd smelled his, but it still startled me a little when he spoke.
"Did being the center of attention get a little old, Sparks?"
he said without turning around. I rolled my eyes at his back, even though he couldn't see my expression. I spent most of my life practicing not drawing attention. I think it'll be a while before stuff like this feels totally comfortable. He made a noncommittal sound. Well, he hadn't told me to take off. That was some kind of progress. I walked up beside him, peering in the same direction he was looking. Don't you trust Aaron's sentries to keep a close enough eye on things?
You can't be careful enough with the Fae, West said. I heard he's already sent someone to request the parley. She has to know you're here, and where we were before now. She'll know what the request is about.
Do you think she already knows some of her people killed my mother? Do you think it was her idea? My chest tightened. If the ruler of the Fae had ordered the murder of the ruler of the Shifters, that would be an act of all-out war, wouldn't it? Why would they hate us enough to do that?
It's unlikely, West admitted, to my relief. The last thing the Fae are is stupid. But the Monarch will have set the tone of conversation that made her underlings think it was a good idea. And I have trouble believing 7 years could have gone by without word getting back to her. But she's stayed quiet, no interest in filling us in.
What will happen if they decide they want to start some kind of war? I asked. The image of the Fae blasting Mom with their magic flashed through my mind. I shivered. Can we really fight back? West's mouth curled into a grim smile.
Shifters are strong. It takes at least a few Fae to tackle just one of us, weaklings like that weasel rogue aside. And there are a lot more of us than there are of them. We'd give them a good fight, but that doesn't mean we should be begging for one.
I don't want to fight, I said. I just want some answers. I want the Fae who killed my mom to face some kind of consequences. I don't think that's asking a lot.
You don't know the Fae, West said.
In the pale moonlight, his handsome face looked suddenly haunted. Maybe I didn't know the Fae yet, but it was clear he did. The pain I could sense echoing through him made my own heart squeeze. I swallowed thickly. What did they do to you? His gaze jerked toward me for the first time, his penetrating green eyes meeting mine.
What makes you think they did anything?
I raised my eyebrows. Other than the fact that it's written all over your face and in your voice, I'm a newbie shifter, not an idiot. He turned, bringing his lean body that much closer to mine, close enough that a rush of heat washed through me from head to toe. He cocked his head with an expression I couldn't quite read, somewhere between curiosity and anguish and defiance. His voice dropped, the clear, throaty tone tingling into my ears.
"Do you really care? Or do you just think you should?"
I stared back at him. It had suddenly gotten very hard to think over the clanging of desire ringing through my body. Thankfully, that wasn't a very hard question to answer.
"I care. Of course I care. Do you really think I'd put up with half the shit-talking you do if I couldn't see there's a hell of a lot more to you than that? More that I want to know?"
"What makes you think the rest will be any different from what you've already seen, Sparks?"
My own voice dipped lower to match his, with a slightly teasing edge.
"I don't know. But I've heard dragon shifters tend to be extra perceptive about these sorts of things. And by the way, I'm actually starting to like that nickname, so if the point of it is to annoy me, you'll have to find a new one."
"I'll give that some thought,"
he said with a twitch of his mouth. I couldn't tell if he'd suppressed a frown or a smile. I was too busy being distracted by how close his mouth was to mine. Not much more than a foot of space between us. Practically nothing at all. And then some genius part of my brain came up with the perfect excuse to touch him.
"And that scar you've got, the one that almost glows. Is that from fighting with the Fae?"
I reached for his chest, holding my breath as I did. West caught my hand an inch from grazing his pecs. His fingers closed around mine firm and hot. There was so much heat radiating off him that for a second I thought I might melt.
"Are you sure that's what you want to do?"
he said, so dark and low it was almost a whisper. An ache had formed between my legs. I wet my lips.
"Fuck it." "No," I said. "I want this."
I tangled my other hand in his silvery auburn hair and pressed my mouth to his. A groan reverberated from West's chest. He kissed me back hard, letting go of my hand to grip my waist and pull me flush against him. The heat of his body enveloped me, as if we weren't two people, but two parts of one whole. Two parts, desperate to meld back together. I clutched his shirt, losing myself in the crush of his mouth and the demanding slide of his tongue. There was nothing I could imagine wanting more than this. My hips arched against West's of their own accord. With a hungry growl, he lifted me off my feet and laid me on the stone bench without breaking the kiss. He braced himself over me, his body grazing mine tantalizingly. I whimpered and tugged him closer. The bulge in his jeans brushed my sex, and I rocked against him. He let out another groan and dropped his head to devour my neck with the hot slide of his tongue. I gasped, groping him with an abandon that would have embarrassed me if he hadn't seemed just as frantic for release. My fingers found the hem of his shirt and trailed up under it over his bare back. West grasped my hips, shifting them so his erection could hit my clit at an even better angle through our clothes. A moan slipped from my lips. I didn't care that some other revelers might wander into the garden and see us, hear us. He was mine, and I was his. And we were meant for this. From the moment I'd been born, from the moment he'd been named Alpha, before all the violence and the bitterness had wrenched us apart. "Wesley," I murmured, ducking my head to try to reclaim his mouth. At the sound of his full name, West stiffened. He pushed me off so suddenly that for a few seconds all I could do was lie there blinking up at him, my body throbbing at the loss of contact. He stared back at me, a tremble ran through him, his hands clenched at his sides. His mouth was still red from kissing me and his cock still hard against the fly of his jeans, but his eyes had gone abruptly cold.
"No," he said. I'm not Wesley to you, and don't pretend that I am.
I sat up, my breath coming in a rasp. What was he talking about? I didn't mean anything. One of the shifters in your village called you that, and I remembered. And it just seemed... It had seemed natural in the moment, but obviously not to him. I didn't know how to explain it. I'd just been following my instincts.
You've been gone for 16 years, he said flatly. You don't know me, and I don't owe you anything. I don't need anything from you. I've held my position as Alpha all that time, and I'll damn well keep being Alpha whether I accept your terms or not.
West, I started, but his expression shuddered even more. My voice faltered. He stalked off, striding down the garden paths toward the courtyard. I gazed after him, feeling achingly horny and alone, and more bewildered than I liked to admit. 14. Wren. After the festivities had carried on far into the night, I'd been escorted to rooms reserved for the dragon shifter. It was a relief to roll out of the elegant oak sleigh bed the next morning and amble into a private dining area where I didn't have to face even one more stranger. The wide, white-walled room was tucked away between the estate's dragon shifter quarters and those assigned to the Alphas, and no one else got to use it. When I slipped inside, Nate was already digging into a breakfast of poached eggs, bacon, toast, and fresh-cut fruit at the polished teak table. The mingling sweet and savory smells set my mouth watering. Aaron was standing by the broad window that overlooked the ocean, a cup of coffee nestled in his hands. He turned from the view of the crashing waves and smiled in greeting.
Did you sleep all right, Serenity?
Looks like I've missed half the morning already, so I'd say yeah. I ambled over to the buffet where the spread of platters was laid out. Man, where to start? My stomach gurgled eagerly. It's a nice place you've got here. Aaron laughed.
I can't really take much credit for that. The estate has been passed from Alpha to Alpha for as long as anyone can remember. It's a nice perk to go with the responsibilities, though.
Nate patted the table beside him as I headed over with a heaping plate.
This side gives the best view of the ocean.
Or are you just saying that to keep me close? I teased. To my relief, the bear shifter grinned. Things had felt a little awkward between us since I'd told him off for being overprotective, but I didn't want him to think I was holding some kind of grudge. And I sure hoped he wasn't, either. The vibe I got from him as I sat down in the next chair was a little hesitant, but warm.
I can't say that isn't an extra benefit, he said.
I let my leg rest next to his under the table, and his grin grew. I wanted him to remember what I'd told him about how to treat me, but I still wanted him, too. He ran his hand over my thigh to squeeze my knee in a gesture that would have seemed playful if it hadn't also sent a bolt of desire to my core. Oh, I wanted him all right. And I had no doubt he felt the same way. But Aaron's comment about the Alpha line of succession stirred up thoughts of last night, of the deeper awkwardness I'd felt with my other Alphas. First, there'd been that weird conversation I'd overheard between Marco and his kin, and then the interlude with West that had somehow gone completely wrong. I still didn't know exactly what he'd been so upset about. But that comment he'd made had stuck with me, especially after the stuff with Marco. I'll damn well keep being Alpha whether I accept your terms or not. Aaron had talked before about having to fight to keep his position as Alpha. More than once, other avian shifters who'd wanted a shot at the leadership had challenged him. I'd been too occupied with my mother's mystery to think much about how my reappearance would change the dynamics of ruling for all the guys. I dipped the corner of my toast into the perfectly runny egg yolk and took a bite. But now my mind was churning. I couldn't turn it off. Why should I? I was supposed to be ruling the shifters, too. I should understand the ins and outs of every aspect as well as I could. Aaron came over to sit down across from me. I glanced at him. Is it going to be easier for you to be respected as the Alpha now that I'm here? And we're officially mated? I mean, like, fewer people challenging you or whatever? He nodded, considering me with his bright blue eyes. A lot of the turmoil in the shifter communities has come down to not having a dragon shifter around to provide the usual balance. With people seeing that you're here and taking on that role, they'll be less restless. His tone turned wry. And there are many who'll feel your accepting me is an additional mark in my favor. And that'll go for all the kin groups, I guess. Nate raised his head, his expression concerned.
You don't need to worry about that, Ren. You're here. You're with us as much as you're comfortable being. No one should be rushing you. We can handle any challenges that come our way.
Except Marco kind of had been rushing me, hadn't he? Even though he'd tried to tell me he wasn't. I speared a piece of bacon, but didn't lift it from my plate. I know, I said. I didn't want to outright accuse the Jaguar shifter of something to the other guys. How could I put it? I heard Marco talking with some feline kin yesterday. It sounded like there are a lot of them who are restless. I was just wondering if he's had more trouble than the rest of you. Nate made a humming sound.
Cat temperaments don't do well with being ruled over in general. They're always squabbling. On top of that, I'd imagine Marco being the youngest of us didn't help. Aaron said. He was only 10 years old when the previous feline Alpha died. And you've probably noticed his personality can be a little provocative. He likes to run off his mouth.
Nate muttered.
Everything's a big joke.
Aaron chuckled. I think he cares more than he likes to show, but yes, that's what I meant. Marco cared a lot about staying Alpha, anyway. I chewed and swallowed, but the bacon had lost its taste. My stomach had gone tight.
But Marco's handled himself all this time,
Nate said, giving my knee another quick squeeze.
You don't need to worry about him, either.
Before I could decide whether I wanted to say anything else about that, there was a knock on the door.
News from the Facer,
a voice called in. Aaron straightened up.
Come in, he said. Whatever it is, everyone here can hear it.
A tall, gawky young man who brought to mind a heron came into the room. He gave his Alpha a quick bob of a bow.
The monarch has granted your request of a parley, he said. She is willing to meet with you and your party tomorrow at noon on the neutral ground.
Did she say anything else?
Aaron asked. The heron shifter shook his head.
She didn't look surprised to be asked, though.
Because she'd already been expecting us, like West had suggested? My stomach knotted even more. My fingers curled around the fork with the sudden impulse to pocket the silverware, as if that would make the situation more under my control. I hadn't quite shaken my thieving past yet. As the messenger ducked out, I turned back to Aaron. Is that what you expected?
Delaying by a day isn't a surprise, he said. She wouldn't want to seem overly accommodating. Other than that, it's pretty hard to read the Fae on the best of days. I don't see any warning signs.
His gaze turned more thoughtful.
Our wolf, Alpha, has been making you nervous.
He really doesn't trust the Fae. I'd call it paranoia if I didn't get the feeling he's got a good reason to. Where is West, anyway? I figured Marco was sleeping in like usual, but getting a late start wasn't like West.
Nate motioned to the window.
He was stalking out of here when I came in. He's probably patrolling the grounds right now.
Aaron shrugged.
If that's what makes him feel more at ease. The Fae are difficult to deal with. But you'll have all of us with you to support you, Serenity.
With every time he said it, I got more used to hearing my full name used. It reminded me how much more I was than the teen living on the streets who'd had to resort to stealing to get by. I'd found a real place for myself here, and just like the Alphas had with their positions, I was going to hold on to mine with everything I had in me. I really wasn't feeling all that hungry anymore, though. I forced down a few more bites of toast and stood up. Is there anything I should know about what's planned for today, or can I just explore?
Stay within the estate, unless one of us is with you, Aaron said. There's a formal dinner arranged for tonight where you'll get to meet representatives from many of the powerful avian families. Until then, enjoy yourself however you'd like. I have a few admin-type concerns to take care of now that I'm back, but I'll look for you later.
The warmth in his gaze made me think of all the ways I'd enjoyed myself with him. I'd been too exhausted last night to think of using my bed for anything other than zonking out on. But there were so many possibilities. The huge mattress was big enough that it could have held 5 of us easily.
I look forward to that, I said with a twitch of my eyebrows.
The warmth in his eyes went from gentle to smoldering in an instant.
Oh, yes, I was looking forward to it a lot.
I was also looking forward to taking in the rest of the estate. Last night I hadn't seen anything other than the courtyard and the garden, by darkness. I slipped through my rooms and out into one of the mansion's main halls. The ocean breeze filled the whole place with that refreshingly salty smell and took the edge off the summer heat. The whitewashed walls, teak floors, and big windows all through the open concept space made me feel like I'd stepped into a massive and exclusive beach cottage. The perks of being Alpha indeed. I hadn't made it very far when Marco emerged into the hall up ahead of me. He gave me his usual sly smirk as he sauntered over.
Good morning, princess.
I wanted to smile and say it back, to pretend nothing was wrong. But with his indigo eyes on me and all the questions that had been whirling in my head, I froze up. The jaguar shifter cocked his head at my hesitation.
Is everything all right, Ren?
This wasn't the best place for a confrontation. But at the moment, there was no one else in sight. I didn't really want to go somewhere private with him, not until I had a few answers. I braced myself and raised my chin. I don't know, I said. It seemed like maybe things aren't totally all right with your kin. You didn't look very happy talking with them yesterday.
Oh, that.
Marco waved off my concern with a flick of his lithe hand.
A little vampire trouble soon to be taken care of. The bloodsuckers just like making a fuss. I sent the delegation off to deal with it before they could get the avians' feathers too ruffled.
I said. Well, of course he wasn't going to come right out and admit to the other things they'd talked about. I paused and then forced myself to keep going. I've been thinking about some of the things you said the other night. About how much I mean to you, how much you want to start our lives together. An eager light lit in Marco's eyes. He stepped closer, his voice dropping lower.
And where did those thoughts lead you next?
Part of my body still responded to him the way it always had. My fingers itched to tangle in his dark hair, my lips to feel his against them. But another part of me, tight around my heart, balked at his eagerness. Because what was he really eager for? I drew in a breath, keeping my gaze fixed on him. I was wondering whether you actually meant any of it, or if the only reason being with me matters to you is so you can make a better claim as Alpha. Marco's jaw twitched.
The light in his eyes went out. He managed a chuckle, but I didn't need any supernatural sensitivity to tell it sounded stiff. He summoned his familiar jaunty tone.
Princess, if someone's been telling you stories...
And here he was, still fucking lying to me. My temper flared, fueled by a burn of betrayal spreading through my chest. I heard it straight from your mouth last night, I snapped. Talking about me like I'm a job you need to finish, a prize you're going to grab before the others? So don't pretend you have no idea what I'm talking about. For once, Marco seemed to have nothing at all to say. His lips parted, and just stayed that way as he stared at me. I could read the panic and guilt in him as clearly as if it had been written in capital letters on his face. I clenched my teeth against the pain swelling inside me. So, it was all true. He couldn't even start to explain himself. I'm not a cat toy, I said. So forget about treating me like one. Then I turned and hurried off in the opposite direction before my tears caught up with me.
15. Erin. The last room I took Serenity into was the library. She sucked in her breath as she took in the bookshelves built into every wall from floor to ceiling, the clusters of sofas and armchairs on the deep pile rug, and the view of the ocean from the two tall windows. I smiled with a rush of pride. I might not be able to take full credit for this house, but I'd taken care to make it as welcoming as possible. "And let me guess," my dragon shifter said, gesturing to the packed shelves. "You've read every one of those?" I laughed. "Hardly. But I did spend a lot of time in here when I was growing into my role, in between meetings with my advisors. I didn't have a senior alpha to guide me directly, so I found as much direction as I could in the books the previous alphas have accumulated over the decades. I used to read a lot when my mom was still around," she said. "The library was an easy place to get out of the apartment for a while, where no one would bother you if you found a quiet little nook for yourself. But once she left and I ended up on the street..." A shadow crossed her face. I wished I could brush it away with a caress of my hand. She didn't like to talk much about those years after her mother had disappeared, but every time she mentioned them, she couldn't hide how deeply the experience had wounded her. But she was healing on her own. With every strength she discovered in herself, with every bit she let us in, she was coming back to the woman she was meant to be. "You can find a quiet little nook in here whenever you want," I said. "The house is yours as much as it's mine." She ducked her head for a second as if embarrassed. Then she smiled at me with the glow of confidence that was coming to her more and more often now. The rush of pride that filled my chest now was for her, followed by the desire to show her exactly how much I adored her, in every possible way up against one of those shelves. The clock on the fireplace mantel chimed. No time for that sort of diversion now. I took her hand, enjoying the way her slender fingers automatically closed around mine. "We should go back to your rooms. You'll want to pick out a dress for the dinner. People will expect to see all of us a little decked out." The corner of her mouth curled higher. "So a tee in jeans isn't going to cut it? Is that what you're saying? All right, all right. I've got nothing against dresses. Let's make me into a real princess." But as we strolled back to the dragon shifter's quarters hand in hand, another hint of shadow crossed her expression. Her fingers tightened slightly around mine. When she didn't speak, I glanced over at her. "Is something bothering you? You can tell me anything, you know."
"I know."
She smiled again, but crookedly this time. "You don't have to worry. It's got nothing to do with you or your amazing house. But it's not something I really want to talk about right now. If I feel like I do later... you'd be the first person I'll go to." I couldn't ask for more than that. Fair enough. I ushered her through her sitting room and into the vast bedroom that had belonged to generations of dragon shifters when they visited the avian estate, a private bath off to the side, a bed big enough for dragon shifter and four alphas, and several huge teak wardrobes. I walked up to one and tugged it open. "The dragon shifter line tends to be pretty consistent in size," I said. "Some of the clothes in here might be a tad too small or too large, but we can always have a piece tailored if need be. Serenity came up behind me. Her eyes widened. She fingered the drifts of silk and satin in their array of colors, a giggle escaping her. I feel like a kid who just discovered the world's best dress-up box. I chuckled. Take your time. You should go out there tonight feeling every bit the princess. I stepped back as she pawed through the dresses. She pulled out a few and tossed them onto the end of the bed for further consideration. You said I'm going to meet some of the prominent avians, she said. So there are shifter families with more power than others? Like in any community, I said. Sometimes it's based on the families of past alphas, sometimes just who fought best or contributed the most in past times of trouble. They don't have any official authority, but the rest of my kin would listen to them above others. So I try to keep them happy as long as that doesn't mean making everyone else unhappy. You'll meet some of my family tonight, too. My sister should be getting here in time for the dinner. She glanced over at me as she shut the wardrobe, the last of her selections draped over her arm. You have a sister? Alice, 2 years younger, twice as fierce, I grinned. She made herself my unofficial bodyguard when we were growing up, and she's done enough martial arts training to have earned that title. I think you two will get along well, and she'll watch out for you as much as she does me. Well, I'm looking forward to meeting her at least. She strode over to the bed and threw the last dress on with the others. Now let's get on with the decking out.
Ren. I ran my hands over the smooth fabric of the dresses, trying to lose myself in the moment. It was hard. The guilty expression on Marco's face had been nagging at me all day. I trusted him. I thought I could because he was my mate, because of the bond we shared, even if it wasn't fully consummated. But apparently, he didn't feel it the same way I did. I was just a means to an end, not a person he cared about. Aaron put his hands on my shoulders and rubbed them up and down. His touch brought me back to the present. He didn't ask again what was wrong, even though he could probably tell I was thinking about it again. At least I had him. He cared about me. He believed in me. I could lean on him while I figured out where the hell things were going with the rest of my mates. You want to help? I asked, letting a little heat creep into my voice. Aaron raised his eyebrows, an answering spark lighting his eyes. Now that's an invitation I can't imagine turning down, he murmured. I lifted my arms and he tugged my t-shirt off me. His hands settled on my bare waist. He leaned over my shoulder, his breath tickling over my collarbone. So, which one should we start with? My nipples had pebbled inside my bra. I squashed the urge to forget the dresses and just have him on me. Instead, I studied the ones I'd picked out. Now that I was considering them together, the black gown seemed overly stuffy. I didn't want to look like I thought I was attending a funeral. I picked up the silky lavender one that had caught my eye. How about this? I think it'll be lovely on you. Aaron reached around to undo the button on my jeans. He tugged them down and I stepped out of them. The tracing of his fingers over my skin left me a little breathless. I eased up the dress over my body and waited as he zipped up the back. He came with me to the full-length mirror hanging on the wall between two of the wardrobes. The silver frame was almost as shiny as the glass. I definitely didn't look like some girl off the streets now. That was a woman gazing back at me. The silk hugged my slim frame, rippling like water around my legs. The lavender did look lovely with my dark brown hair, but something about it didn't feel quite right. I ambled back to the bed and shrugged that dress off. My hands fell on the gold one in the middle. The embroidered leaf pattern around the shoulders and bodice gave it a little more structure, and I liked the faint coordinating pattern marked into the satin fabric. Another excellent choice, Aaron said with a smile. That dress had its zipper on the side, but he helped me with it anyway. As the fabric settled into place against my skin, A sense of certainty was already rising over me. I headed back to the mirror. The gown's small train whispered across the floor behind me. My breath caught, and I saw my reflection. The gold fabric brought out the amber in my eyes, making them look like little flames. The cut hugged my hips slightly before flowing over my thighs, giving my figure a little more curve. I looked regal, powerful. I didn't just look like a princess. I looked like a queen. Woe betide anyone who messes with this dragon shifter. My chin rose instinctively. Aaron's smile grew. "This one," he said. I didn't need to try any of the others. "This one," I agreed. He pulled me closer to him. The press of his hands over the soft, smooth fabric felt amazing, and so did the press of his lips when he brought them to mine. We kissed long and deep. My arms rose to loop behind his neck. He angled his head to kiss me harder, and I hummed encouragingly against his mouth. With a groan, he slid his hands up my sides to skim the curve of my breasts. "You look fantastic with this on," he muttered. "But the only thing I want to do now is take it off you." "I'm not really seeing any problem with that plan." He grimaced against my cheek. "I'm supposed to meet with my advisors in a few minutes to talk over the latest developments before the dinner starts, and to come up with a plan for our parley tomorrow." Our parley with the Fae Monarch. My desire cooled at that thought. I stepped back to peer into his eyes. "How dangerous do you think it's going to be, meeting them face to face?" He cupped my cheek, teasing his thumb over my temple in a reassuring caress. "They didn't outright attack us on the mountain. We can't trust them, but they're bound by the word they've given, the treaties they've agreed to uphold, in a magical sense. We just have to watch that they don't find some loophole like they did by using the rogues to their benefit. The entire shifter community will know we went to the neutral ground to talk with them. They can't hurt us without bringing an awful lot of pain on themselves." He didn't sound overly worried, and with the Fae Monarch's domain right next door, he should know just how much trouble they were likely to stir up. I dragged in a breath, not sure whether I was more nervous about meeting these bigwig shifters tonight or about meeting the Fae tomorrow. "You've got this," Aaron added. "And we'll be right there with you, just like always." I nodded, suddenly too choked up on emotion to speak. He drew me to him again. This kiss felt softer and somehow more passionate at the same time, as if he were offering up all the devotion he felt in the brush of his lips against mine. I kissed him back hungrily, wanting that feeling, needing it, needing to give the same back to him. Could I really call this love after just a couple weeks? I don't know how else to describe the glow of happiness that filled me, being there in my eagle shifter's arms. Aaron eased back, his eyes shining as if he'd heard what I hadn't let myself say out loud. "I really do have to go, but I'll see you soon at the dinner. Why don't you... There's a terrace overlooking the ocean just past our private dining room. If you'd like, you could take a walk out there. I've always found it calming. I'll send someone for you when it's time." The way my nerves were jumping, a calming stroll sounded like just what I needed. "Thanks," I said. "I'll do that." 16. Wren. The sun was just starting to come down over the ocean. It lit up the water with drifts of sparkles. I walked across the stone tiles to the railing that surrounded the private terrace, drinking in the aquatic scents carried by the breeze. It was hard to stay anxious with that gorgeous scenery in front of me and the soothing crash of the waves filling my ears. I was a dragon shifter, the last dragon shifter in existence.
Anyone who tried to mess with me was making the worst decision of their life. My fingers curled around the cool marble surface of the railing. I raised my head high. The breeze rippled through my hair and through the flowing skirt of my dress. I felt the power of my heritage rippling through me, too. And the little flame of power Mom had led me to, still flickering in the depths of my chest. Where was that going to lead me? I had the sudden, wild urge to leap over the railing and down toward the beach. I could do it. The sandy slope below looked a little uneven, but nothing I couldn't manage a good tumble on. But even as the urge rose up, I knew that jump wouldn't give me the same rush all my leaps and falls before used to. I'd experienced what it was like to really fly now. Nothing could compare to that. Someday I'd be able to hold my dragon form for hours on end, just soar and soar as far as my wings could take me. That sounded awfully nice right now. I'd carried my purse out with me. My phone buzzed with a text alert. I pulled it out, already knowing it had to be Kylie. My best friend was the only one who had the number. There wasn't anyone else in my life I'd trusted enough to want to stay in contact with, except for the guys now, and I hadn't needed to be apart from them yet. What would it be like once we had to split up? They'd have alpha duties to take care of. Sometimes they'd need to be off at different estates, and I wouldn't be able to stay with all of them at once. Even with all the uncertainties whirling around us, part of me ached to keep them close. All these crazy feelings had to get easier to deal with once I had more time to get used to the situation. Right?
"What's up in Royal Shiftaland?"
Kylie had texted. I smiled and leaned back against the railing as I typed my reply. "Big fancy dinner upcoming. You would not believe the dress I've got on."
"Ren in a dress? Oh my God, I can't believe I'm missing this. Take a pic, that's an order."
I laughed and held the phone out to try to capture as much of the dress as possible in a selfie. When I sent it to her, Kylie replied with a selfie of her face with her eyes wide in shock.
"You look spectacular, Ren. Those four alphas of yours are going to have their hands full fighting off the rest of the guys there."
"I don't think people are coming to this dinner looking to hook up," I wrote back. "It sounds like there's a lot of serious political business to discuss. Heads of major shifter families and stuff. I guess they want to make sure I'm really real and that Aaron didn't just make up that they finally found me."
"So, you're that big a deal, huh?"
"Yeah." I paused thinking about my conversation with Marco this morning, with a twist in my gut. It seems like having a dragon shifter around as their mate makes it a lot easier for the other shifters to accept them as alphas. I guess that's what they meant about me uniting all the kin groups. Seems like a lot of responsibility.
"But they'll help you through it. You can handle it. You don't think you're still in danger, do you? Now that you took care of those rogue douchebags?"
My gut twisted harder. I didn't want to tell her about that continuing threat, or about how wary I was of the meeting with the Fey Monarch tomorrow. "Not immediately, it doesn't seem like. I don't know what to expect going forward. I'm still getting used to being a shifter. There's been a lot of conflict in the kin groups since my mom disappeared, I guess, and I don't know the half of it yet."
"Well, you look after yourself. It doesn't matter what they want from you. You've got to put yourself first. And if anyone argues with that, you send them to me and I'll straighten them out."
I had to smile at that. I'd bet she would, too. Kylie always had my back, even with all this supernatural chaos descending on us.
"You're okay now, right?" I asked. "You've totally recovered from the attack at the Shifter Village?" "Oh, yeah. I'm in tip-top shape now. Whatever those shifters did looking after me, it made the cuts heal so fast. I'd hardly believe I got mauled if I hadn't been there. The scars might stick, but that's okay. Just makes me look even more badass." Well, I'm glad nearly dying didn't put a cramp in your style. Hey, it'll take more than some murderous werewolves to get me down. It would. I pictured her beside me, with her perpetual smile in that petite frame topped by her blaring neon pink pixie cut. A pang of homesickness hit me. As soon as I can figure out a way to make it work, I'm coming back to visit. Or maybe I can arrange for you to visit me wherever I end up. These estates the Alphas have are amazing. Like I said before, if you want to set me up with a quartet of shifted dudes of my own, anytime, feel free. I'll keep that in mind. She sent a kissy face emoji. I've got a jet for work. Knock 'em dead at that dinner tonight. Just not literally, obviously, Miss Dragon. I tucked the phone away and turned back toward the ocean. So much of my life was up in the air right now. But it was nice imagining some future time when I could just hang out with my bestie in a place like this. No worrying about sudden rogue attacks or fey conspiracies. The door to the terrace sighed open behind me. Nate's brawny form pushed past it. He was looking even more fine than usual in the formal suit he had put on, which hugged his muscular body to incredible effect. My breath might have caught a little, taking him in. His gaze settled on me, and he gave me a smile that looked almost shy. His eyes roved over my body as he walked up to me, but the glint in them was appreciative, not leering. Apparently, I was having an effect, too.
"That is some dress," he said, "although it's got to be the woman in it who really makes it."
I smiled back, the compliment warming me. I like it a lot, too. Never been much for dressing up, but I'm starting to think maybe I could get used to it.
"I'd be totally fine with that."
He propped himself against the railing next to me, his gaze turning searching.
"Aaron told me I'd probably find you out here alone."
My hackles rose just slightly. "You know you don't have to be worried about me being on my own for a few minutes, right? Because I'm completely fine, just enjoying the view." Nate held up his hands.
"That's not what I meant, I promise. I didn't come looking for you because I was worried. It's..."
He ducked his head, the sunlight gleaming off his thick chestnut hair. He was so tall and powerfully built, it still amazed me how gentle he could come across.
"I realized, after what you said the other day when we were fighting off the rogues, that there's something I should probably tell you,"
he said after a moment, rubbing the back of his neck.
"It doesn't excuse how I've acted, but I think it'll explain it a little. And it's an important part of who I am. I'd like you to really know me."
The warmth I'd felt earlier spread through my entire body. I stepped closer, touching his elbow. "I'd like that too. Sorry if I got a bit snappish just now."
"It's fine. I understand why."
His smile turned crooked. He took my hand in his, smoothing his thumb over my knuckles. The contact sent a pleasant shiver up my arm.
"You know that the tragedy with your mother and the former Alphas happened when we were all pretty young," he said. "I mean, I was the oldest of the four of us, and I was only 12. And then there was a lot of uncertainty, because we didn't know where your mother or you were, or what would happen to our usual way of life."
"Yeah," I said softly. "That must have been tough, having all that responsibility and no clear path." He nodded.
"I had good guidance from my advisors. My kin, we're a little scattered, because we're the shifters who don't fit into any of the larger kin groups. But maybe it's because of that we've never been all that competitive. We mostly just want someone leading the way and letting everyone else mind their own business. So I haven't come under exactly the same pressure as the other guys to stay alpha. But I wasn't always sure what I should be doing as Alpha either."
"Of course, that makes sense."
Well, when I was 17 and starting to take on more and more of the Alpha duties on my own, I got to know another.